Let's take our Bibles to the book of Proverbs again, Proverbs chapter 9. We're continuing to look into God's Word to find wisdom for life. And this book is about wisdom for our lives. Not just Proverbs either, the whole book. But we're looking at Proverbs chapter 9. We'll start reading where we left off in verse 13. And actually read down through verse 1 of chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13, the Bible says, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing." And that's not hate speech. You say that today and somebody will call you a sexist or a misogynistic. But you know, God tells the truth about women and men and kids and babies and everybody. So whatever he says about us is true. He didn't say women are clamorous, but the foolish ones are. Amen. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Well, we see a foolish woman in verse 13. We see a foolish son in chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to start right after we finish this message. When you go from chapter 10, you'll get chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You're going to have six chapters of contrast. And it's good. That's why chapter 10, verse 1 starts with the Proverbs of Solomon. It's just sort of another section. And for six chapters, he's going to run in the same verse. He's going to say, this is a positive thing and this is a negative thing. He's going to do that just about every verse for six chapters. And he's contrasting wisdom from foolishness or wickedness. And even so, tonight we see a foolish woman and a foolish son, but we also see in verse 1 of chapter 10, a glad father. And how true it is that if you want to be glad, if you want to be happy, you're going to have to be wise. Gladness doesn't come by accident. The struggles and terrible lives of the world that are lived not in wisdom but foolishness bring heaviness. They don't just bring foolishness doesn't just bring heaviness to the people engaged in the foolishness. It brings foolishness to other people around them that love them that have to watch the foolishness. And so gladness comes from lives of wisdom. And we want to live lives of wisdom. And so the Bible starts telling us what these foolish people do so we can learn the lessons and not be like them. Because we want to have glad, happy lives, not miserable lives, not heavy lives. So we've got to look at all these things that God says is foolish and stay away from them and get them out of our lives. Having said that, we have all been guilty of being foolish at times, haven't we? But it's one thing for you to be foolish in a decision you make or be foolish in a sin that you commit or be foolish because you listen to the wrong person. It's another thing for your whole life to be defined that way. I mean, here, Solomon was a wise man, okay? But he did some foolish things. But still, when you look at Solomon's life, he is not a foolish man. He's a wise man. And so all of us are guilty of meddling into the foolish realm, and God forbid and God keep us from that, but that's the truth. But we shouldn't let our lives continue in that foolishness. We should get away from it. You know, the Bible says that before we got saved, we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Titus 3, verse 3. But through salvation, God can take that foolishness away from us. But even God's people still at times are foolish people. He tells us in Galatians chapter 3, he says in verse 1, written to God's people, the Galatian church, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a foolish Christian. I don't want to be a foolish church. There are some churches that are foolish churches. And that's because God describes them to be so. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" You know, that you should not obey the truth. And he went on to say, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" You know what, when God says his people are foolish, about the Galatians, he said, "You're foolish because you're trying to live your life in the flesh instead of living it through the Spirit." You know, you can only survive so long going through the motions of Christianity, just making yourself do it. We've got to be motivated by a good relationship with the Spirit of God to do the things we do for Christ, or they'll run out really fast. If we continue in the Christian life by the flesh, it's a foolish thing. Only the Spirit of God can give us the power and the ability and the grace to live the Christian life. And so you got to depend on the Lord. You got to have a right relationship with God. "Oh, foolish Galatians." He said in Jeremiah 4:22, even to the children of Israel, he said, "My people are foolish." Well, we can look at these lessons about who God says is a fool and stay away from them. The Bible, Jesus said for us not to call each other fools. But, you know, then Jesus called several people fools. And whoever God calls a fool, he's a fool. And that's God's definition. 61 times the fool is mentioned in the book of Proverbs. That's a lot. And, you know, if we didn't do anything, you can learn things in one of two ways. You can learn the good, and you can also look at the foolish people and say, "That's not how I want my life to be." And so God just doesn't tell us live this wise life. He also says, look at all the fools and don't be like them. Have enough wisdom to look at a fool and go the different direction than they're going. Jesus even called those two disciples at the end of the book of Luke. He said, "Oh, fools," two of his disciples. He called them fools. He said, "Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written." When we doubt the word of God, we are fools. We are being foolish people. When we put a question mark about anything that God says, it's a very foolish endeavor. In chapter 9 of Proverbs, would you look at verse 6? He tells the wise son, he tells us, he says, "Forsake the foolish and live." You want to live a good life? Then get away, forsake that which is foolish. Now, tonight we're looking at a foolish woman and a foolish son in contrast with a glad father. But I look those things up. When God mentions a foolish, he doesn't just talk about a foolish woman. He talks about a foolish man in the Bible. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:20. Just turn over there. Here's a characteristic of foolishness. Proverbs 15, again, this is wisdom for our life. Wisdom for our life is, okay, here's a foolish person. Don't be like this. Proverbs 15:20. "A wise son maketh a glad father." That's just like we are reading over here in chapter 10, verse 1. "But a foolish man," what does that say? "Despiseth his mother." But then the foolish man says, "Well, you don't know my mother." You know, it's never a good thing to despise what God has used to bring you into this world and a benefit. Everybody doesn't have the benefit of having a Christian mother. This is what I think of when I read verses like this. And it would be easy to apply this if you had a good Christian mom, but you know how many people don't have good Christian mothers? There's a lot of people in church that don't have good Christian mothers. You say, what do I do if I don't have a good Christian mother? Pray for her. Love her, but don't despise her. That, he says, a foolish man. It doesn't say a foolish man despiseth his good godly mother. Does it? No, it doesn't. Don't despise your mother. Then look at the Bible tells us about a foolish man in chapter 29. Look, something else about a foolish man. We're not just going to pick on the ladies. There's plenty of foolish men out there. And foolish children too. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, right? Proverbs 29, the Bible says in verse number 9, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. So he's saying, you know, don't waste your time contending with a foolish man. The verse I'm really at, look at chapter 21. I skipped over that. Proverbs 21, verse 20. Proverbs 21, 20. Watch this now. Here's another characteristic of a foolish man. Proverbs 21, 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. In other words, you go to the wise house, he's got some treasure there. He's got some oil there. But he says, but a foolish man spendeth it up. You know what a foolish man is? A foolish man, foolishness is just being a spendthrift. Spending everything you got. Have you ever thought that maybe some of the things God gave you, he didn't give it to you to spend? Well, it's getting quiet there. I don't know. Do you know how foolish it is to spend everything you have? You say, well, I got it. Isn't it for spending? No. The animals know better than that. The ants don't eat everything they gather. They lay it up. That's why we got all these stinking ants come back every summer. Because they save. Look, and you can love the Lord and be foolish because everything God gives you, you spend it and waste it. Don't be foolish. He says right here about this foolish man, he spendeth it up. Instead of living it up, he spends it up. You can't find anything in his house because he spent it all. You know some people, you couldn't give them enough. They just spend it as fast as they get it. It's foolish. That's like our nation, our country. It doesn't matter how much money we get. We're going to spend it all anyway. And more than that. Well, let's give all this money to the poor. What, they're just going to spend it? Anyway, that was probably went over well. But foolish people, you can't give them enough. Jesus talked about a foolish man. He built his house on what? Well, that's a nurse from the nursery classes in church. We remember that. So whenever you build your life on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, you're foolish. We know you can be saved and you cannot be building your life on the Word of God and the things of God. Foolish man. How about that one that Jesus talked about? He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Remember that? Why was he so foolish? Well, because he said, soul, thou hast, you know, built all this and laid up this. He couldn't see God. You know, when you can't see God in your blessings, you're very foolish. It's very foolish. All he could see was his barns. He couldn't see God behind the barn. He couldn't see God behind all of his prosperity. He was also foolish because he said, take thine ease. You know, if all you want is a life of ease, it's very foolish. We're going to find out this foolish woman was like that. She wanted a life of ease. Matter of fact, she had nothing to do so much, she just sat there and watched people all the time. Very foolish not to be busy. He said, take thine ease. And he said, you know, you've got much goods laid up for you for many years. Well, he didn't have many years. You know what's foolish? It's foolish when you think you have a tomorrow. None of us have a tomorrow. Not a person in here has tomorrow. You're not promised that. It's very foolish not to look at the brevity of life. Jesus talked about those. So what do I need to do if I'm not going to be foolish? If I want to be a glad, not just a glad father, but a glad mother, a glad Christian? Well, don't follow the foolish man. I'll give you another one. There's really eight here I give you before I get to the text. A foolish king. That's Ecclesiastes 4:13. You know what it says about a foolish king? He will no more be admonished. A foolish king won't let anybody correct him. Don't be so important in your own life that you'll never see correction. That is foolish. There is not a person in this building that doesn't need to receive correction. And we are foolish if we think that we can't be admonished. It's foolishness. The Bible talks about foolish prophets in Ezekiel 13:3. You know what a foolish prophet is? He says one of those foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. In other words, those foolish prophets, they're not following God. They're following what they want. They're following how what their opinion is. You know, when you follow your own spirit and your own opinion and your own thoughts, it's a foolish thing because your opinions are so limited. Your knowledge is so limited. It's foolish to follow what you want in life, not just for the prophet, for any of us. Zechariah 11:15 talks about a foolish shepherd. Of course, it's talking there about the Antichrist when we went through that text. A foolish shepherd destroys everyone that's underneath him. The foolish shepherd cares nothing about anyone else. He's destroying them. He's eating them alive. The Bible talks in Matthew 25 about foolish virgins. And you know the story. They didn't have any oil. They made no preparation. You know, why would you have a lamp without any oil? Why would you have a Christian life without God? Why would we have a church without prayer? Why would we have, you understand? So there was no preparation made. It's very foolish not to make preparation. There's all types of, the Bible talks about Ezra. God used him so much because he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He made some preparation. He knew that he needed something in his life. He needed to search God and find God. Then the Bible talks about a foolish nation. He said about his own people, Romans 10:19, he said, with a foolish nation, he said, will I anger you? He also said that in Deuteronomy 32. In other words, God used heathen nations, he called them foolish nations, to try to rebuke his own people, the children of Israel. And what is a foolish nation? A foolish nation is just a nation that doesn't know God. A foolish nation is not a nation that is poor. A foolish nation is not a nation that is communist or capitalist or whatever any nation is, or Marxist. A foolish nation is a nation that does not know God. That's a foolish nation. God didn't say he would destroy all the nations that are communist. He didn't even say he would destroy all the nations that are sinful. You know why? All nations are sinful. But you know what he did say? He said he's going to destroy all nations that forget God. And if you don't, if a nation doesn't know God, and God's reached out to every nation with the truth. And when a nation forgets God, they're foolish. Well, if that's true about a nation, that's true about you and me too. When we forget God, we're very foolish. You know, forgetting God is not just, you know, walking away from church and the Bible and Christianity and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with God. You can forget God tomorrow. Just forget about Him. Don't think about Him. It's foolish not to think about God. It's wise to meditate on God and think about the Lord and talk to Him. Foolishness. Well, let's go to this foolish woman here. I know you're waiting on this. Everybody came to church tonight to hear about the foolish woman. Proverbs 9:13. A foolish woman is clamorous. Now, you know what that is. The definition of clamorous is a great outcry, a noise made by a loud voice continually or repeated often, expressing complaint. And urgent demand. That's what it means to be clamorous. God says it's foolish to be clamorous. And God says also, you know, a fool is known by a multitude of words. The wise person just keeps her mouth closed. But the clamorous woman is somebody that has to continually, loudly voice their complaints and their demands. We live in the age of the clamorous woman. Amen. Now, Christian people can be guilty of that. He said in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be ye kind one to another. You know where clamor comes from? Clamor is not just being loud. I mean, preachers are loud. Praising God can get loud. But to be clamorous is somebody that is complaining in a bitter spirit, in an angry heart, making their demands, and they just won't shut up. It's just the constant because they're angry. You know, when a preacher preaches loud, he's not angry at people. He's just preaching. He's not filled with bitterness and wanting to get people. I never have been in the pulpit and said, boy, I'm going to pop this in today. I never have done that. I'm afraid God just, you know, strike me dead right there in the pulpit. But I'm praying, God, help me to help these people. Now, sometimes it comes off a little strong, but there's no bitterness. There's no anger there. There's no malice. There's no ill will. To be a clamorous person is someone that is just so mad at everybody, and it's not fair, and I got mistreated, and I'm just going to continually tell you my complaint, yada, 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 and you're going to listen to me. And God says that's foolish. That's foolishness. And this woman, she's not helping herself. You don't get what you want by being clamorous. Well, look at, I'll tell you who she's kin to. Look at chapter 21. Don't be a foolish woman. You don't have to be that way. You say, well, it ain't right. Well, just hush. I mean, Jesus was quiet. There ain't nobody putting nails in your hands, ma'am. Right? Nobody sticking anything in your side. And Jesus, he didn't say a word. You know why? Because he was wise. All these people in our society talking about their rights and how awful it is for them, it's just a bunch of clamor. Just be glad you live in this country and hush. Just be glad you have a mother and father that loves you. You have a house to go to. You have food to eat. What a joke. Clamorous people are so unthankful. And they've never been very far. They've never been down the road very far to see what real suffering is like. But oh, it's so bad. And I'm just going to tell you about my demands. And I'm going to tell you about my complaints. No. Well, that's foolish. Hey, and if you really have needs, go to God and ask for them. And if He can't give them to you, then just be quiet. That's terrible, but that's just... God says it's foolishness. Proverbs 21, this foolish woman is related to this other woman over here. In verse 9, they're sisters. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Glad he didn't say with a wide woman in a brawling. Anyway. That's funny. You can laugh. It's okay. In Proverbs 25, he repeats it in verse 24. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You say, why are you saying this? Because look, do you know what will hurt your... What you'll hurt your home is foolishness. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. I'll just show it to you. Proverbs 14, 1. Every wise woman. This is what, if you're a Christian lady here, this is what you want to be. You want to be a wise woman. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And you know how you build things up and you tear things down? You do that a lot with your mouth. You can build people up or you can tear people down. The clamorous woman is not building her house. She's tearing her house apart. The brawling woman is not helping her situation at all. That's why the New Testament tells the ladies to be meek and quiet. The clamor never gets you anywhere. Ask Brother Coffey. He was the meanest husband in the world before he got saved, his wife. He was awful. Marine, killed people and all that, came home with all that. His Christian wife would make all this meal for him, and he'd come home, you know, off his tour, and he'd throw all the food in the floor and all the table that she made, throw all the dishes. He was just so filled with anger. And it was really anger at God. It wasn't anger at her, but he was an awful husband. Drinking all the time, fighting all the time. You know what she did? She wasn't clamorous. And you know, when Brother Coffey got saved, he wept his way to God on the lap of his dear wife that didn't fuss and fight and clamor. And in the end, she got what she really wanted, a really good husband. But it wasn't through clamor. She was wise. Well, let's keep reading here. We don't want to be like this foolish woman. She's clamorous. And there can be some men that are clamorous too. It's not just women. But I'm reading the Bible. This is what it says. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. You know, when God says you don't know anything, He's right. You know, it's not just this woman that doesn't know anything. There's a lot of people that doesn't know anything. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, He says, if any think he knoweth anything, He says, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know it. So that guy that thinks he knows everything, you know what he knows? He didn't know anything. That Bible says over there in 1 Timothy, he also uses that phrase, knoweth nothing in 1 Timothy. Just go ahead and turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 5, because we're going to get another verse for the ladies right beside it. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he talks about people that don't know anything. He's not talking about education. He's not saying that this woman is uneducated. Maybe she's just like this man here that knows nothing. 1 Timothy 6, 4, he is proud, knowing nothing. You know, when you're proud, you're a dingbat. Now, God says knowing nothing. That just means you're stupid. Every one of us are stupid when we're proud. He is proud knowing nothing. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It doesn't matter if we're male or female. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No matter how educated you are, if you are proud, you know nothing. So we ought to really run away from that foolishness and say, God, I'm going to stay on my face and acknowledge to you that I'm nothing and I need you. And I'm not going to be big in my own sight. I'm going to be little. I'm going to see my need. This man that's proud is knowing nothing. There's something else about him. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That means if you don't agree with Jesus Christ's words, if you don't agree with the doctrine that's according to godliness, you don't know anything. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter where you went to school. If you don't agree with the Bible, you know nothing. So the foolish woman here, she's simple and she knows nothing, the Bible says. And she's proud, evidently, or he wouldn't have said that. Hold your finger there in 1 Timothy and turn back to Proverbs 9. It says something else about her. Verse 14, I don't want to be like this foolish woman. Verse 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Verse 15, to call passengers who go right on their ways. So she just sits. See that? She sits at the door of her house. Well, contrast that. Hold your finger there. Contrast that to 1 Timothy 5, what God says His will for the women are. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I know this is hate speech, but it's true. The world calls it hate speech. The Bible says in verse 11, but the younger widows refuse. I'm in 1 Timothy 5. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And with all they learn to be, what's that word? You know, if you're sitting, as it says over there in Proverbs 9, this foolish woman, if you're sitting at the door of your house, just sitting there and just watching people, you got too much time on your hands. With all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to adversaries speak reproachfully. And you know, if you do verse 14, you won't have any time to sit in the door of your house and watch everybody. Well, that's just so 1950s. Well, it's a better world. God says it's foolish to be idle. You know, when you get idle, you just open yourself up to all types of sinful exercises. And that's what this woman, foolish woman, she's just sitting there watching everybody. If she lived in the 21st century, she would be on Facebook looking at, seeing what everybody else is doing and commenting on it. Look at it. He sits right there. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. She's just watching people go by. Well, what do you care who's going by? Mind your own business. This is awful. Go clean the house. Go keep the children. Go change your diapers. Oh, how awful. It's better than sitting on Facebook and getting involved in things you shouldn't be involved in and getting indoctrinated with the philosophy of the world and start talking and thinking and acting like a bunch of foolish people that this world is made up with. Look, you know why? You know the men that stay out of trouble are the men that stay busy working. You take a teenager. If a teenager doesn't have anything to do, they're going to get in trouble. You don't just sit there in the door of your house and watch people. That's why I don't have a social media footprint. I don't want people watching me. When my children start videoing me, I get mad. I said, don't you put that on. I don't want anybody watching me. Sitting in my house, amen, in my pajamas. I don't want anybody watching me. Right. Nobody looking at me. None of your business what I'm doing in my house. Or how I mow the grass. Or where I go shopping or what clothes I buy. Why do you just want to watch people? It's foolish. I don't even watch myself. I don't watch other people. People just watching people. What did you see? You know what? You get involved in watching people and you'll never do anything. You'll live the rest of your life never doing anything, watching other people live their life. How dumb is that? And it's dangerous. Look at it right here. It says, she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Now she starts relationships with others that she shouldn't have because she was too idle and she was watching and she's foolish and she's starting to call people she doesn't even know. She starts flirting with them, you see. She's sensual. We're going to see in this text, she's really a whore. She's addicted to fornication. Look at it, verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She likes forbidden things. She wants to steal from others. Did you know that fornication is theft? And you know when people steal stuff, there's a thrill about stealing stuff? I mean, some of you may even like to, you know, watch these big heists. You know, somebody did a big heist and, oh, they broke in the bank and they did all these wild things, you know, and they got all the money. And wow, it's exciting. It's thrilling. There's something thrilling about stealing $10 million. It's exciting. Sure it is. There's something thrilling about stealing somebody else's innocence or stealing somebody else's wife or stealing somebody else's husband. There's something exciting about thievery. But it's wrong and it's foolish. And there's a cost to pay. She says, oh, it's pleasant. It'll bring a thrill. Don't listen to the foolish. Don't listen to the foolish one calling out to you. You know, the Bible said in Revelation 2:20 that Jezebel seduced God's servants. She called out to them. Don't listen to the foolish. There are foolish people in all of our lives that are calling out to us, and we need to turn them off. And it may not be calling out to us for adultery or fornication, but they're calling out to us with some foolish purpose, and you need to turn off that call. Why would you want to listen to somebody that's foolish? Why would Christian people listen to people in the world that don't know God and don't respect the Bible and don't believe the truth? Don't listen to their calls. Then the Bible says in verse 18, but he knoweth not, this one that's listening to her, and he knoweth not that the dead are there. You see, it's so pleasant, it's so exciting, it's so thrilling, but the dead are there. Not life, the dead. That's why he said, forsake the foolish and live. Real living is living God's wise life. You go to the foolish, it's the dead are there. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Well, that's pretty judgmental, isn't it? Now, I think this could be two things here. Certainly, sin drags people down to hell and they don't consider their soul and their need of the truth, their need of God. But I think there's something else here. Remember in this text in chapter 9 also is the call of wisdom. Wisdom's calling out to people just like this foolish woman is. And wisdom's call to people, it says she. It said that also in the previous chapter. It likened wisdom unto a woman as well. Remember that? So maybe this foolish woman, I think it applies to a literal foolish woman, but I think it also could apply to a foolish woman in contrast to the wise woman. You know, the church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we not be a wise woman, a wise bride, calling people to Christ, calling people to the truth, calling people to wisdom, instead of being a foolish woman calling people to sin? You know, the Satan has his bride. He has his religious whore, as Revelation 17 and 18 talks about. And you know what? Her guests are in the depths of hell. That foolish religion, that foolish woman of the devil leads people down to hell. That's her guests. The great whore of the revelation and the system of this false religion is a bigger tool of the devil than the wicked crowd. There will be more people in hell because they listen to the devilish religion of Islam than there would be to the people that go crazy in their fornicating lifestyles. There'll be more people in hell because of Church of Christ doctrine. There'll be more people in hell because of Buddhism and Hinduism. A lot more people in hell than the Sodomite crowd will ever lead there. The tool the devil uses is false religion. He uses, instead of the bride of Christ calling people to the truth, the devil has his foolish woman calling them to whatever they like, whatever they want, whatever appeals to them, and drags them to the depths of hell. And I tell you what, the call of the foolish woman is getting louder and louder, and the call of the wise woman, the bride of Christ, seems to be getting more quiet every day. Well, let's finish up with chapter 10, verse 1. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Notice how these children affect their parents. So the wise son got a glad father. Foolish son, heaviness of the mother. Now, it's not saying that the mother is not happy as well and the father is not heavy as well. Matter of fact, in chapter 23 in verse 25 of Proverbs, he clarifies that and says that thy father and thy mother shall be glad. So he talks about a wise child bringing gladness to the heart of both parents. But he says the foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Maybe that's because the mother was around the fool longer than the dad. In other words, the child grew up with mom. In other words, the day when daddy went to work and mom raised the kid. So if the kid is a fool, mom has to spend more time, so she's a little bit more heavy with the fool. That's what I see there. But he says this child, these children affect their parents. You know, what a generation do we have? There's something wrong with kids who don't care how their lives affect their parents. I am in my 50s and I still want my dad to be a glad father. I want what I do to make him glad. And if that's not in your heart, there's something wrong with you. And we have a generation that does not care. They're so involved with themselves, they don't care how their lives affect their fathers or mothers. It didn't used to be that way. He said, a wise son maketh a glad father. Can you imagine how glad David must have been to have Solomon? Well, I bet his buttons just popped off of his kingly coat, man. Here's Solomon, I mean, at a young age, he's got more wisdom than the old people have. Yeah, that's my son. He's got a young boy that's Solomon that's praying, talking to God. Boy, I bet he was. Yeah, David was glad. Solomon knew that he made his father glad. Now, ultimately, we want to make God the Father glad. But gladness comes from a life lived with wisdom. You want to be glad, not sad? Then it comes with God's wisdom. You want to have a more happy life? Wisdom will bring. You want to be happy? Well, start living like this, and all these things that we're reading about that are foolish, stay away from them, confess them, get them out of your life, and find gladness. A glad father. God, give us some glad Christians and glad fathers. And it not only make the father glad, it'll make the son glad. You live in wisdom, it'll brighten your life. It'll bring glory and peace and joy in your heart. I tell you what, you look at all these people today that, man, they're just in the midst of despair. Lives being taken every day, people just destroyed. But what do you expect by filling your life with foolishness? Let's fill our lives with wisdom so the gladness can be spread around. You want a glad church? You know, if every one of us in here will live in wisdom, we'll have a glad church. You know, when these young people come back from camp, if all of them made good decisions, all of them made wise decisions, all of them gave their hearts to the Lord and God did a work in their hearts, if they come back, you know, everybody's happy. They're happy. Mom's happy. Dad's happy. Church is happy. God's happy. Because some people made wise decisions. But what's the other thing? You know, you can have people living right, doing right. But if there's a group of people in the church that are making foolish choices and foolish decisions and living foolish lives, you know what it brings? It brings heaviness to everybody. And I don't want to do that.